Welcome to the Common Geeking Program, a book club podcast where each week three of us read up on a topic, then discuss it from our own geeky, nerdy perspective. This week marks the end of cycle 9, meaning each of our 8 cast members has hosted an episode. To end each cycle, we have a special geek news-centered episode called a Common Briefing Program, which is a relaxed episode format where we focus on current events in the nerd world. And all three of us bring different stories to the table. I am your host, Laura, and I am joined by Colin and then Pat, I suppose.
Okay. Hello, my name is Colin, and I'm joining you today. I don't think we say what we're saying at this point. We do that later. I did last night, however, try to say the word heteronormative, and it came out herdamanerminerve.
I know exactly what I'm saying.
My friend laughed at me. My friend laughed at me very hard because I just kind of like stumbled through it. I sort of made it out the other end, but it did not look good. Anyway, who's next?
That's what she said.
Nice. I'm Pat, and I'm upset because now I can no longer make fun of Laura for saying hello at the beginning of her podcast, and also can't make fun of her for not having a ring on it.
That is true.
All of my Laura jokes are just going out the fucking window.
Yay! Don't worry, I'm sure something will come up.
So, speaking of Laura and Pat, I gotta say, I haven't been on an episode with either of you guys in a while, and all three of us have been very busy with our own crazy shit. I miss you guys a lot.
I miss you guys too. You guys are good people. Yeah.
Pat, I'm sad I'm not going to be able to play Destiny with you later today because the next episode is being recorded right after this.
Bam, bam.
Bam, bam.
I'm sorry.
No, this is my fault. It's been a time.
I was a little bit of an asshole today via our Facebook messaging when we were trying to plan this, and I was like, yeah, no, I'm going to be asleep by 9:15, so if you want to start recording at 9, have fun without me.
Hi, welcome to the common. Oh, okay. I guess it's up to me and Pat now.
She's gone now. Great.
We just hear some soft snoring in the background.
Wait, Pat, did you introduce yourself?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Oh, wow.
That's Pat.
Oh, yeah. You did. And you...
I said my name was Pat and that I was depressed.
Woof.
But also not really that depressed.
No, you were sad because you can't make jokes about me anymore. I remember now. Yeah. How quickly we forget.
That's probably a new thing we can make.
Each of us will have a few minutes to mention what we believe are important, impactful, or interesting developments in our domains of geekdom, with open discussion amongst the group before we end with our ratings section, in which we will all vote for our favorite story and award a gold star to the best representative.
Man, that was some great writing. I want to know who wrote that script.
Oh, man. I bet his name was Colin.
I bet it wasn't.
It was probably Jeff.
did you guys listen to Eddie's episode recently, episode 69?
I've been so busy, I haven't even listened to our own podcast.
Which is buck wild. It is buck wild. Thank you, McElroy's, for that word being back in my life.
Oh my God, it's so good.
No, Eddie has been making a joke since the beginning of the podcast that it is scripted and that everything we're doing is written out. And when he stopped winning the Gold Star Student Award, he kept complaining, like, the writers don't know what to do with my character this season.
That's brilliant. I remember some of those. Did he bring it back?
Dude, in his Deadpool episode, it went off the fucking rails. I edited that shit. There's like 10, like the entire last 20 minutes of the podcast is that them stuck in a meta joke about it all being scripted and not being able to get out of it. Man, they like, ugh. I really enjoyed it, but it was, I don't know how they got through. It was a clusterfuck. It was a real clusterfuck to edit.
I will have to listen to that. Normally, we will jump right into the domains, but I am going to actually start us off with a little bit of a confession corner here. I suppose I will start as I am the host, and I'm
the hostess with the mostest.
The confession corner is a brief segment where before we begin the podcast proper. This is an adult show. The podcast, we air some of our most recent grievances and goofs in a confession format around the horn. So, Laura.
Forgive me, Padre, for I have goofed. My confession is a bit more of a total first world problem.
Uh-oh.
That you guys have now already heard. You should just edit that part out because nobody needs to know that. Gripe / first world problem / confession is that I am incredibly stressed out because I have to go spend tomorrow on a party yacht with people that I enjoy, and that is giving me anxiety beyond belief. So... that's my confession. It's really fun. Anxiety.
So on one level, I'm like, shut the fuck up. You're going on a yacht tomorrow.
Yeah. No, it's going to be great. I just am really anxious about it right now.
Yeah. But on another level, I'm like, if you make me see my family in any context, I'm going to freak out and I don't want to go.
The difficulty is that this is like the fourth weekend out of like 10 that I will have something to do every day that I have off, which is very overwhelming. Also, not a confession corner. This is just a crazy fucking story that I forgot to tell you.
Uh-oh.
Charles and I went up to Albany so that his sister could get engaged, which was great.
Odo, get down. Get down, Odo.
Had a fabulous time. Odo, we were driving back on Saturday.
Odo, get down.
And all of a sudden there was this like crazy traffic on 87 by the exit to 17 where Odo. Like you're about to get off for the Jersey.
Odo, get down.
It's very distracting. I'm going to keep going though.
I know. Odo, get off the
completely
table.
Traffic completely stopped on the highway. So I tried to merge
keys.
Left.
Come get the keys.
Odo. Turns out that there was this 18-year-old or 19-year-old kid that was on drugs running around the highway with no shirt on.
Odo, get
and attacking people's cars with his body.
Okay, I got him.
Nice.
So he slammed his hands down on the hood of my car and then came around to the driver's side, body slammed my side view mirror and broke the glass.
Holy fuck.
And I was like, I don't understand what's happening right now. And so my car has a broken mirror and like it's 4th of July week. And so I haven't gotten any repairs done yet on it. So I'm like driving my mom's car and like this fucking kid apparently got tased and kept on running. It was like 100 degrees out and he was running around on the highway. So like on top of all these great things that are happening, that's also a thing in my life.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say I do not hold your stress against you or consider it sinful in any sort of way such that I will not demand you do anything as recompense for these stresses. But you better get fucking lit on that yacht.
I probably won't because I have to drive my mom's shitty car back. But yeah, well, maybe I'll make Charles drive.
I'm also me. So by lit, I mean hide in a corner and play games on your phone. That's how I get lit.
Yes. Yes.
So before my confession corner, as you may have heard, my cat was on the table where I'm recording.
Uh-huh, did hear that, yep.
I threw four things at him and then hit him with my backpack for him to get down. And as soon as he got down, he poked his eyes up over the other side of the table and fucking stared at me, like, in the way that angry cats do. Anyway, forgive me, Padre, for I have goofed for mere minutes ago.
You threw your backpack at a cat.
I threw my backpack at a cat. I went into my kitchen to get a drink of water because right now, as the history of the world would let you know, the sun is a deadly laser. I am very warm, so I get a drink and I get put the water in my cup to drink the drink. And then I start to drink the drink. And as soon as I start to drink the drink, I see a big black something floating around and I'm pretty sure it's a fly. So I spit out the water and I dump it in the sink. And then I immediately fill the glass back up without washing it and drink a full glass of water.
Why is this a confession at all?
Yeah, I feel like that seems reasonable. I don't know.
It's kind of embarrassing that I didn't wash the glass.
You didn't wash the glass that had a fly floating in the water?
Well, here's the thing. I just took the glass and filled it up, and the fly was at the top. So I'm guessing the fly was in the glass.
Oh.
And then I filled it up.
That's disgusting, bro.
That's slightly grosser.
And poured it out. Yeah. So that's why that is a confession. I think that was... Pat, you're... Pat, what... Padre, what must I do to atone for this disgusting turn?
Do dishes more often so that you don't have gross-ass bugs flying around your bullshit kitchen? I don't know.
That's probably true. I have to admit, though, I was the original confession corner person. I goofed the first goof, which was that I told somebody, thank you for introducing me to the toilets.
Yes.
So I feel like you really need to up your goof game. Good. Just saying.
Okay.
I fell on a cactus. I feel like it's pretty okay.
That's true. All right, Pat, it's your turn to confess.
All right, this is going to be a pretty lame confession because I haven't really done anything in a while.
You're the one that wanted to do it, you turd.
Just because I wanted to hear you confess shit.
Oh, that's so fun.
I'm not, listen, you're not going to get my secrets out of me. I'll own the fly thing.
Forgive me, Padre, for I have goofed because literally mere moments before recording this podcast, I ate an entire sleeve of Oreos. Because I'm...
That
is
beautiful.
My man! Oh,
I was on
it.
Vacation for the past week visiting my girlfriend. We're in love. It's great. And now I'm sad and depressed, so I ate a bunch of Oreos.
I respect that. I'm sorry that you're sad, but spending a week with your girlfriend sounds nice.
It was really good. It's the best week of my life.
Aw.
That's
cute.
I'm jealous, though, because I'm not going to lie. I really want to eat a whole sleeve of Oreos. like, it's my favorite thing to do, really.
I got to be there for her birthday and for 4th of July, and it was just a lot of fun. Went to Lake Michigan. That was really cool.
Can we, like, focus on the Oreos, though?
Okay, fine. We can focus on the fucking Oreos. Well, I also ate a shit ton of food when I was.
Do you have the same problem?
Did you dunk them?
What?
Did you dunk them, or did you just eat them?
I just ate them.
Opportunities. Okay.
I don't have milk in my apartment.
Do you not have milk in Arizona?
I mean, we have milk in Arizona. I just don't...
Get cows.
Drink milk.
So... I don't drink it either. I have it for two purposes. A cereal and a Oreo Dunkin'. Those are the two functions milk has in my life.
I don't eat cereal and I only eat Oreos when I'm sad.
Did you have Oreos in the apartment or did you go to get Oreos?
I was getting cough drops because I was sick and I saw the Oreos and I was like, cool, I'm going to get
the Oreos. So you were at the store buying the Oreos with the intent of eating them?
I'm going to buy a whole thing of milk just for one package of Oreos? No fucking thanks, bro.
You get like a half gallon.
I mean, you can get pretty small cups of milk, yeah.
You get like a half gallon for $2.
Not worth it, okay? Not fucking worth it.
Jesus. All right.
I did buy ice cream.
I feel like you both needed to, like, repent for not your actual confessions, but the things that surrounded them. Whatever.
Well, you're the host, so you get to tell us what Hail... I can't fucking talk today. Hail Marys. Hail Herminerminerv. There we go.
You each need to do 4 Herman and Herminers, which really isn't that bad, because, let's be honest, Herman they weren't that bad.
Herman and Herminer. Herman and Herminer.
Well, I said it in... Yeah, anyway.
Wow, for like a split second, I didn't know why you were doing that. I was like, why do you keep saying that?
Okay, so Colin can't talk, Pat is shame eating, and Laura is forgetting everything that is more than tech and
stuff. I'm not shame eating, I'm sad eating. I'm not sad ashamed eating. Of the fact that I ate all those Oreos.
Okay, are you proud of it?
Kind
of. My man, let's go. Let's keep going. Right. Let's actually do some geek news shit.
Yeah, let's do some pod stuff.
I'm more proud of the fact that I'm going to eat a pint of ice cream for dinner, but let's go.
That sounds great. I'm going to kick it off as the hostess.
With the mostest.
Hostess. With the most of the hostess. I'm just going to make it one word now. So I don't know how long each of my news pieces are going to take, so we'll kind of figure that out. Maybe it'll be more conversation.
It's not the length that matters.
That's what she said.
That is exactly what she said. I tend to err towards the book side of things on this podcast, not necessarily super strongly, and it's been a while, but
nerd.
I like the books. I like to read the books. So I wanted to start off with a little book news. This is a little bit old. However, I still think it's relevant and I want to have a discussion about it. So I have some George R.R. Martin news. He announced a book that is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is very excited.
Wait, the is it the last?
It is not the last. It's not even the second to last.
What?
Which we are expecting. So he has decided to, instead of writing The Winds of Winter, which was expected to be published in 2017 originally, LOL. It's a imaginary history of the Targaryens.
Oh.
So he decided to write an entirely new book instead of continuing on with his franchise, which is hyper popular. And I would love to just discuss that a little bit because it feels...
Can we like splice in right there the sound clip of Michael Scott just going, no, no, no.
So this feels a lot like Robert Jordan's The Wheel of Time, which he wrote a lot of books on, and then it expanded and expanded and expanded, and then he wrote a prequel and then died. So I'm like very worried about the sequels here to Song of Ice and Fire.
At least it's not like J.R.R. Tolkien, where his whole life he wanted to publish The Silmarillion, and all the publishers were like, no! And then he died, and then his son got it published, and everyone hated it.
Yeah. I didn't hate it. I liked The Silmarillion.
Yeah. We like it now. The book was pretty much panned. It was panned when it came out in 1977.
But... Yeah. I think with George R.R. Martin, it's a little different because he has a whole team of writers that have been helping him write because he just can't like keep up with all the stuff that's going on in his head.
Yeah.
So people at least know what's supposed to happen. It just might be slightly different in the way that it gets there than George would have written it. But
so I'm going to need a little bit of help here because, as I may have mentioned at one point or another on this show, I am not a fan of Game of Thrones. I have seen seasons 1, 2, and 6 of the show.
Sure. That makes perfect sense.
Yep. And
God, that should have been your confession. Jeez.
Yeah, dude.
It's not a thing I like to talk about because it's like if you tell me you
because
don't like
it's shameful and you need to confess about it.
Okay, dear, forgive me, Padre, because I hate your show. So Game of Thrones has never really intrigued me. And I've known the name Winds of Winter for a long time just through like cultural osmosis. Mm. What? Okay. Is the worry that he's going to die? Is the worry that the show is ahead of the books? Like, what is the problem here?
The show is already ahead of the books, and we think he's going to die because he's an old fat dude with heart problems. Like,
yes. So here's
George R. R. Martin.
Let me break down the series so far. So the first book came out in 1996. The second book came out in 1998. Then 2000, right? We're on a pretty good track. Fourth book, 2005. Fifth book, 2011.
Okay.
Sixth book was supposed to be 2017, but now it's looking like 2019 is the earliest we'll get it. So this is like a super popular series that has a lot of loose ends that we really need to go. He's got this whole thing planned out where he only has two books left, and he keeps on saying that he has this whole story kind of outlined and figured out and all that shit. And instead of just finishing his book, he wrote a prequel. Essentially.
So, okay. So where in the show, when did the show overtake the books? Primarily.
The last season.
The most recent season is what?
Ahead of where we are now in the books.
Season 7, right?
I honestly don't remember. It's been like 6 years since the show came out, so.
I'm pretty sure it was season, was the most recent season the one where the Ice King person killed the dragon? That was the most recent season, right? Because that's what I've seen.
Okay.
You're a strange man, Colin.
Well, I wasn't.
Yeah, it was season 7.
Okay, then season 7 is the one I've seen. Because I didn't sit down to watch it. I was hanging out with my friend in New York, and they were watching Westworld, and I was like, fuck yeah. And then they were watching Game of Thrones, and I'm like, I'm still here, so I guess.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Wow.
Almost all of these episodes have at least a 9-star rating.
Wow. Yeah. So the importance of the book is, okay, what does the prequel cover?
The history of the Targaryens. So it'll be set hundreds of years in the past of the book series that we're reading now.
Okay. I know that the Targaryens are important because of dragons, but like, again, to bring it back to J.R.R. Tolkien, I mean, the Silmarillion basically covers everything before the Lord of the Rings, or like that made the
like
Lord
from
of the Rings
creation
happen.
Of the universe.
Yeah, like it's intense. I'm about to read it again, and I'm so excited. But
doubt he's gonna go that far.
Well, that's the thing. Like, is that book out? Is it coming out? What's the story with this Targaryen book?
It is coming out. It's coming out soon. I thought I had written this down, but give me a second. I can tell you that.
I don't, like, I think he might release, like, an encyclopedia type thing later to cover how the world was created and stuff.
That's, yeah.
We get little snips of, like, how we think it is based on the different gods and their different followers, but...
It's
really
expected
know.
On November 20th of 2018.
Okay. Ooh. I mean, at this point, it's not what people are expecting, but do you think that it might still, like, satiate you? Do you think you might get enough new information about the world that you'll care about?
No, because what I'm interested in... I mean, it's true. Damn.
Fuck that!
What I'm interested in is the progression of the story that I've already read. I'm interested to see how he's going to develop some of the things that happened in the TV series to see kind of how that splits off. And reading about the history of the world is not what's going to... Like, I'm not going to read it, right? Yeah. I might eventually, but I'm not going to go out and buy it right away. I'm going to probably pass it at some point. Yeah. Anyway, so that's my first thing. I do want to move on because I am all over the place with my news this week. Is that there is a lot of rumors that are for sure rumors that Patrick Stewart is reprising a role in Star Trek.
Cool.
And
I
know that they're rumors. I know they're probably not going to happen, but I did have to bring it up on this podcast.
Okay, so I'm going to dive a little bit. One of the things I want to talk about in my section is going to touch on this, but I'm glad we can dive into this a little bit because first of all, look at all the actors from Star Trek The Next Generation back in the 80s and 90s, and look at them now. One of those actors looks exactly the same, and it's Patrick Stewart.
It's because he was already so old and bald when he started it.
Yeah, so here's the thing.
He was not old and bald. He was beautiful and handsome and wonderful.
He's
still old and
bald
and all those other things.
In 1991, he won Sexiest Man Alive he was Captain Picard.
You can still be sexy and old and bald. Like, I don't see the problem.
I wasn't saying they're mutually exclusive. I'm saying, like, bow down to him.
He's an amazing person, and I love his animal rights activism stuff.
Okay, so here's the thing about that. The show is in development with CBS under Alex Kurtzman. We have no idea what it might be.
Well, there's a 5-year deal. It might be more than just a show.
And I'm trying to look it up. Patrick Stewart has been saying a lot lately that he really wants to get back in the shoes of Picard. For example, mm-hmm. when we found out Quentin Tarantino is doing a Star Trek movie, he was like, oh my God, like I would absolutely do a movie with Quentin. Are you fucking kidding me? I would love to do a movie with Quentin Tarantino. But like there, he's been like hinting at his look to get involved in the franchise again. And it's like, I don't know, like, I think the assumption that I've been hearing around the internet the most is that it would be like a lot of time has passed since Next Generation and we're following right. Picard like later in life, kind of like in the series finale, All Good Things, when you see flashing into the future and he's this ambassador, or he was this ambassador, now he lives on like a vineyard. But we don't know.
A vineyard.
A vineyard. And we don't know.
A Picard vineyard.
Because okay, because of the whole anti-time thing, they.
I'm not done. I thought that was hilarious.
Because of the whole anti-time thing and the fact that they like had to run back and shut everything down, we don't know if that's the future that's going to come to pass. They cast doubt on that. Mm. So there's a lot of openness to put it somewhere in the future where we can focus on Picard without having like a straight TNG reboot. Like it could yeah. be its own thing. And a lot of Trekkies, and I'm not, like, I'd like it, but a lot of Trekkies really want something after Next Gen. Because ever since Star Trek Nemesis, we've been reaching back and doing prequels right. and reboots right. and stuff. And it'd be fun to, well, what happens next?
I would love to know what happens next. I also did hear a rumor, or someone was discussing that he could potentially be part of the animated series that they're talking about making, yep. Which would be interesting, but I think the world needs more Patrick Stewart in all forms.
Yeah, I think it does. And Jean-Luc Picard in particular is just such an incredible character.
Yeah.
There's something so incorruptible about him, despite the things that like his character has gone through, and to see that tackled through a modern lens with serialized storytelling, because Star Trek didn't get that serialized storytelling until Deep Space Nine.
Mm.
So like we have some through lines with Picard, like we have the thing with his heart, and we mm-hmm. have Chain of Command, and we have some instances of him having these long stories, but to get like a Breaking Bad style show about Patrick Stewart as Captain Picard, I'm fucking on board, and I hope that's what we're looking at.
Me too. All right, that is all that I have for today. I mean, I actually have notes about like 17 other things that I'm interested in, but it is my time now.
So hello, it is now
Colin.
Is now my turn. So I was going to talk about some of this stuff anyway. I'm going to take the baton from you, Laura. Here, I'm going to make a little hear that beating on the microphone? That was the baton being handed through our speakers.
That is what it sounds like.
So holding this baton, the deal you're talking about, Alex Kurtzman, who co-wrote Star Trek 2009 and Star Trek Into Darkness, became a producer on the television show Star Trek Discovery, a show that Laura and I have expressed great affection for over time. True. I hope to do another episode about it now that season one is over.
Yes.
But I wanted to talk a little bit about some of this news because Alex Kurtzman was a producer on the show. The show was originally going to be run by Brian Fuller of Pushing Daisies and Hannibal fame. And then he got busy with Stars doing American Gods. And they were like, yeah, you can't do two shows at once. We need you for this. So he handed off the baton to Aaron Harbert and Gretchen Berg, who were his longtime compatriots. They were just fired from the show for like verbal abuse.
Inhospitable work.
Verbal abuse of some of their writing staff and people on the set. And now Alex Kurtzman is the showrunner. So that's happening during production, as there was a bit of a handoff, a change in authority. And part of this is that he simultaneously signed a 5-year deal for CBS, like a $25 million deal for 5 years to keep making shows for them.
And that's crazy.
Four of them are Star Trek. Four of them.
That's a lot of Star Trek all at once.
It's so much. And there are two films confirmed to be in production as well. One directed by I can't remember her name. She did a lot of like Jessica Jones and stuff like that. She's going to direct one, and then Quentin Tarantino's Star Trek film as well, which apparently may actually feature the Kelvin timeline cast that we've seen in the last three movies, which would excite me because I love them.
Yeah.
These shows, the four rumored Star Trek shows, are the Patrick Stewart Captain Picard show, an animated series, the premise of which we do not know, a series about Khan Noonien Singh, the titular villain from Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, the most famous Star Trek film, perhaps.
Khan!
Exactly. And it's actually, it's been kind of in limbo for a while. It's being made by Nicholas Meyer, the guy who uncreditedly wrote Wrath of Khan and then directed Wrath of Khan, also wrote Star Trek IV, and wrote and directed Star Trek VI. Like, the really, really...
Did he get the credit for those ones?
He did. Well, the thing is, Harvey Bennett wrote Wrath of Khan, but then Nicholas Meyer changed a shitload of it. Mm. But he did all the good stuff, and he's, like, not even a big Star Trek fan. He respects it, but, like, he likes to do stuff that breaks the mold with Star Trek, and he wants to do a show about Khan, so we might be seeing more of that. I wouldn't expect Benedict Cumberbatch to come back, given the kind of lukewarm reception of that. Lukewarm is putting it nicely, even though I love it. But The fourth show is one about Starfleet Academy, which is interesting because that's a deep cut, because back in the 70s and 80s when they were considering Star Trek Phase 2 and how they're going to make another show, a Starfleet Academy show has been like discussed for decades. Mm. And now it may finally happen. And I think listening to a lovely podcast called The Greatest Discovery, I got the little tidbits that they're so good. I got a little tidbits that... I guess former showrunners of the OC are going to be working on it.
Yeah.
So it's going to be more of like a contemporary drama, but set in the backdrop of Starfleet Academy, which takes place in San Francisco. So that could be just like a fun sort of future set show that doesn't have to be all about the sci-fi.
I'm just like imagining a Degrassi type situation where Drake comes out.
Yeah.
If Drake is in Star Trek, I'm going to be sad.
But it's a lot of Star Trek. And to be honest, I don't want that much Star Trek all at once.
Yeah. I'm nervous about that much Star Trek. You and I have discussed like... They're going to have to do something crazy with timelines, and then we're going to have like a million different timelines, or we're just going to be focusing on too many separate events that, you know, if you're writing good Trek, you have a lot of time to write good Trek. You don't need to jam pack six shows and two movies all in the same time frame.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I'm glad that despite kind of the unfortunate behind the scenes stuff happening with Discovery, I thought season one was great, and season two... They pushed it back to take time to write it, to do the pre-production. And I think that that's amazing. And I want more of that. And to have four shows running at once, I mean, peak Trek was in the 90s when you had Voyager and Deep Space Nine on TV, and you had the Next Generation movies coming out at the same time. So, like, we've been here before, but we've got the Kelvin movies in their own timeline. We've got this timeline and... like some changes to the canon and the style, and it's I feel like if they have too many different instances of Star Trek going on at once, it's going to be a bit like some of the DC fragmentation, where you've got the DC movies, but you've also got the Arrowverse, but you've also got Gotham, but you've also got Krypton, where like you don't need to, it's not like the MCU where everything is tied into the Marvel movies, to the Netflix shows, to the ABC, to Runaways, where like everything is connected and you can feel satisfied that way. But with the DC thing, my excuse was, well, I don't have to watch the movies because I like the shows. And if Star Trek can get that fragmented, it's going to frustrate me as a viewer, and it's going to confuse new viewers, and I don't want that. But I think each of those projects sounds interesting on its own.
Maybe they'll do something really great where he spends a lot of time like creating them but doesn't necessarily air them right away, so even though he has a five-year deal, it's still spread out.
That's kind of my hope, is that this is stuff that's going to be in the pipeline for a while, because whenever Discovery ends, I'm going to want something else. Two at a time I can take. I'm a little nervous of more, but that's just my initial thought. I might have another show on that in the future, but the big thing I wanted to talk about is Sony. Now,
I almost talked about Sony stuff.
So fun fact, all modern video game consoles and PCs use basically the same hardware, so it's not hard to get them to connect to each other unless Sony doesn't want you to do it. The technology to play video games on an Xbox One and a PlayStation 4 together has been around for a while, but Sony consistently says no. In the current generation of video game consoles, Sony is winning by a long shot. They're selling the most consoles. But Microsoft is going more into the services side of things, and Nintendo is doing their own thing with the Switch by going, like, merging mobile and console. And this all came to a head right after E3, when they were like, Fortnite, you can play Fortnite, currently the biggest game in the world, on the Switch.
Yeah.
And people realize that if you play Fortnite on a PlayStation, Sony locks your account out from everyone else, so you can't even use your account on multiple consoles.
So
if you want to like spend money on your Switch or on your Xbox, you cannot bring that to PlayStation. There was an interview with a former PlayStation head at a Polygon interview that basically said, the issue is that Sony doesn't want you spending money on someone else's platform and bringing it and using it on PlayStation. If there's going to be money spent in their games, they want it. And they're trying to basically keep that wall up, which for has been the status quo.
Right.
But it's now anti-consumer because the status quo is not that anymore.
Right.
Because other consoles are moving. You can play Fortnite. I saw it on Reddit. A guy was like, this is amazing. I'm on my PC. Nephew's on his Xbox. Sister's on phone. Like, all this shit. And it's like, this is amazing that we can all play together. And Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo put out a joint commercial. There was a commercial for Minecraft where one person is playing on a Switch and one person is playing on an Xbox. And at the end, it says survive together with each of their logos, with half green, half red.
They're also making a Minecraft like styled Switch, which is
yeah.
Like-
yeah.
That's really cool.
There's a Minecraft, I saw the 2DS already too, for that sort of thing. And it's like, at this point, Microsoft and Nintendo are playing nice, and I just,
Dude, the Twitter beef is choice.
Microsoft
Sony just keep putting out joint stuff, and then everybody's just like, at Sony, ?
Yeah, my favorite was that Survive Together thing. Someone put out just a blue screenshot that said, Survive Alone, PS4. Yeah. But and then the other thing on that is Fallout 76 is about to come out, first multiplayer Bethesda Studios game, which is awesome and exciting. And Todd Howard said, "Yeah, crossplay's not going to work at all because Sony is not as helpful as anybody would like."
Todd Howard is the real fucking homie there.
Todd Howard, like
he just came out and fucking said it, like fuck you, Sony.
It's so important that we're saying it because the backlash keeps growing, and basically Sony just wants to hang on to their money. At this point, I understand it because Sony only stands to lose money from this. Microsoft will gain money because, like,
don't they just stand to make money less slowly?
I don't think
they're gonna lose money. I think they're just gonna make slightly less money than they currently make.
That's the thing. PlayStation has a banger lineup of exclusives that is going to keep people hooked. What's up,
Pat? I will give a very niche argument here in that I have a very special case of the fact that I have friends who play on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC, and I bought a specific video game on all three of those platforms. If crossplay existed, I would have only bought one of those, but I am a very strange case that I guarantee maybe like not even 5% of the total player base of Destiny bought the game on all three platforms.
Yeah. And it's just something where me as a user, I've dreamt about it for years, but always thought it couldn't happen. But at this point, everybody wants it to happen, but this one person. And I think it's important that we really try to push for this because it's putting a lot of pressure on Sony and it's painting them negatively and it's giving other companies fucking ammo against them. That is
brilliant.
It is
dangerous, though, when you look at a first-person shooter and you look at crossplay. You cannot really have the competitive playlists be crossplay compatible. Like, I've played Fortnite on PC, mobile, and PlayStation 4, and you can very clearly tell when someone's a mobile player. They can't build as fast. They can't shoot as fast. Like, you can just steamroll right over them.
And that's the good thing about Fortnite is that though it is competitive, it's the biggest game in the world right now because it has such a huge casual scene. And I think the mobile is largely responsible for that. If we're talking like your Call of Duties, your Halos, your Destinies, your competitive shooters, and I mean, CSGO is never going to make it to console. It would not survive.
It's already on console, bitch.
What the fuck is
it's
it on?
It's been on Xbox 360 since launch.
There's no community for it, though, is there?
No. There's a very small community, and they all use the thing that converts a mouse keyboard to the Xbox, but it's been there the whole time.
Okay. My bad. Sorry. Retraction. But basically, I want to see Sony buckle, partly because I'm an Xbox user and I'm so in love with the Xbox platform. Like, I don't regret any of the money I've put into it, except, I don't know, maybe Forza 5. But the Forza Horizon 3 is amazing. I don't love Forza Motorsport.
Forza 5 is still good.
I regret it because I don't play it. But I mean, like, I'm into Game Pass. I'm into backwards compatibility. I'm in it. I love it. But I don't want to like say, hey, friends, you want to get a console? Get this Xbox, even though you'd prefer a PlayStation. Like, this is not going to detract from the money that God of War is going to make you.
Yeah.
Microsoft doesn't have God of War. We don't have it, and you don't have Halo. You're not going to have that. Like, that doesn't change. Think about it, like iPhone and Android, these platforms co-mingle all the time now, and they each have their own exclusive features, perks, apps, things like that. And gaming is going that way, and I want to see Sony embrace it. There's got to be a way to make it work. I might be naive, I might be fucking starry-eyed, but that has been a frustration, and watching the story unfold gives me hope that the industry is moving the way that the consumers want it to move.
Sounds like a Star Trek gaming future where everything is great. All right, well, thank you, Colin. Utopia. appreciate your input and thoughts on that. That was not what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about more about some of the things that E3 discussed. So that was definitely a more interesting take. So
woo.
Cool beans. Pat, what you brought today?
I am actually going to talk about some E3 shit. So,
nice.
One of the biggest blockbuster games that was teased, not last E3, but the E3 before that, was Anthem. We all saw that it looked beautiful, all the graphics looked cool, and they teased it as a co-op mech fighting, like adventure type MMO FPS, or like shooter rather, not necessarily an FPS. However, in this past E3, they finally showed us a lot of the gameplay, and it sucks.
Oh, so, no.
It looks, I've seen it described as Destiny meets Monster Hunter.
Mm. It's Destiny meets Monster Hunter meets a little bit of Titanfall, but
yeah.
It's just so slow. Like, the mech idea was cool in practice, and maybe when people start to, like, learn how to maximize the attack moves with the just general movement of the game, it'll be fine. But from what I was seeing, a lot of the combat is you're in a mech, you land on the ground after flying to the area, you stand pretty still and you just shoot stuff. So like, it's a very slow kind of movement game, which does not interest me necessarily, but who knows what's gonna happen. But my other gripe is that all of the enemies in this game look like Destiny clones. Like,
yeah,
these enemies called Scars, or like the Scar is a race of alien.
Yep.
And it literally just looks like the Fallen mixed with the Cabal. Like, and then they go deeper into, like, they start to go into this cave underground, and they just start to see things that look more like the Hive. Like, it's just,
I will say, from my following of E3 stuff, Anthem impressions have been pretty positive. The people who get their hands, and it's BioWare, who make, you know, they did Knights of the Old Republic, they did Mass Effect. You don't really think of BioWare as being like, let's make a tight, fun, fast shooter.
But that's my thing. It's like, they made Mass Effect with all these diverse races of aliens that were never done before, and now they're just like doing things that
I think it's a little different, because the one thing that Anthem does have in common with Destiny is it's like a survival outpost of humans, and not like Mass Effect where you have the Citadel and these places where Star Trek like aliens come to commingle and commiserate and stuff. But I the impressions that I've seen from it is that the shooting actually does feel fun and the movement feels fun. So I agree, I was a little underwhelmed with what I saw. I guess I didn't get that it was going to be third person, and I generally prefer first person.
Well, they released a video like today of a 20-minute long, like, just...
I saw that, the annotated thing. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, I watched it, so that's what I'm like bringing right now
is
that specific impression. But
yeah,
it seems like it plays exactly the same way as Destiny. Like, you go out, you have this AI telling you what's going on, and then it says like, go check out this outpost. You go, you clear out the enemies, you have to do some sort of thing, and then a boss comes, and you fight the boss. Like, it's the same cookie cutter co-op shooter bullshit that we've been fed for years.
Yeah,
I was just hoping BioWare would bring something new.
Yeah, maybe. I'm wondering if like the monster hunting elements might infuse it, because Monster Hunter's been pretty successful. I'm wondering if that on this like Destiny size scale might be cool. But I remember when Destiny was first getting previews, I was like, because you and our friend Tyler and I were all playing Borderlands at the time, and I was getting really sick of Borderlands. You guys are like, Colin, play Borderlands. I'm like, wah. And I was complaining that Destiny looked too much like Borderlands, and at first it felt too much like Borderlands. The good thing about the MMO genre is that they kind of grow and change. Mm-hmm. And maybe if Anthem does start off too similarly to these things, we might see it grow and change in its own way. I don't think The Division did that enough for me to hold my interest, but maybe Anthem could. I don't know. Those are my two cents.
I would like to see them. I think their saving grace is going to be the mechs themselves and how different that makes it feel.
The javelins.
If you have a lot of custom ability in that might be really fun.
Custom ability.
I don't know if that's a word, but I'm tired now, so it is now.
I'm also really hoping that their story ends up being more interesting than Destiny 1's was, because there was pretty much nothing.
Listen,
I do feel like I got into Destiny at the right time. It was like after all the bullshit, and I was like, this is fun. Why does everybody hate it? And I was like, I'm so mad.
I took you through a lot of the Destiny stuff, and every time you're like, this is great, I'm like, back in my day, we had to stand outside of a cave and hope the purples weren't green. And you're like, I don't care.
Dinklebot. But that's the other thing. It's like the dialogue between the the player character in Anthem and it's like AI Big Brother was just it's so cookie cutter. They were like, follow that trail and see if you can find the source of the poison. Like,
Pat, have you played the Middle Earth games, Shadow of Mordor, Shadow of War?
I have not.
Because I mean, like, Radiant quests and things like that, generally, like those procedurally generated quests or those cookie cutter things, get kind of boring. But get your hands on Shadow of War. I think that game kind of does it right. Yeah. All the games are randomly, all the missions are randomly generated, but there's, it just feels so unique. I don't know. Yeah. So there's a way to do it. And again, BioWare, and I'm playing Knights of the Old Republic on Xbox One backwards compatibility and Game Pass, but I'm playing Knights of the Old Republic by BioWare, and it's like, I'm still impressed by what BioWare can do with a game, even when it's old like that, and it's Star Wars, which I like, but I'm not super into. So yeah, I guess I'm also a little disappointed with what I see in Anthem, but I want to see more. I don't know. What we'll you have see. Anything cool. else?
Yeah. I had one other thing, and it's like, it's kind of a cool mixture of nerd stuff and like a more mainstream music scene. But I was reading this article on Kotaku today talking about how there have been certain changes to music albums. Like, everybody's been around long enough to know that remixes happen and remasters happen, but those usually come out as separate albums. Now we're seeing people actually update the original album with new mixes, like through Apple Music and through Spotify without any like trace of the original version.
So they just like update it, right?
Yeah. Kanye has done this on The Life of Pablo, pretty much just changing the entire album, adding lyrics, taking lyrics out, changing the hook. But most recently, Drake put out Scorpion, which was like this huge 25-track album that everybody was blindsided by. And it's gotten some mixed reviews, but recently he updated almost all of the things on that as just like a remaster, but left most of the lyrics intact. The biggest thing that I recognized was Kanye on his most recent album, which is just called Ye. He changed the song I Thought About Killing You to reference the interview in which he said that slavery was like not a thing, like black people should have just walked away.
Oh yeah, that slavery was like it was a state of mind
that
slaves perpetuated upon themselves.
Yeah, so he's trying to like just throw everything that he can into it, and I was just like, bro, you completely changed the
my
tone
brain
of that,
just exploded a little bit. I have a question. If people are updating them on these streaming websites like music and Spotify, is there a way to maintain the original album without having that
disappear?
Yeah,
this is something I was going to ask.
So I would assume that like when I downloaded the song, I would have had the original album. And then if I ever went back to like re-download it, it would be the new one. But I'm not really sure.
Well, here's the thing. Let's think about how this podcast works. So when we... right now, SoundCloud is our hosting. We'll be changing that soon. But right now, the process is we upload an episode and it shows up in your feed, dear listeners. You're welcome. And whenever there have been times that we've needed to make changes, like, there's an audio hiccup or something we didn't catch in reviewing it, and then we'll go and upload it again. On the server that hosts our stuff, we replace that file. Unless you've downloaded it, you can't get that. It's gone. We've taken it off the internet. So I guess what I want to know is, Pat, when you're looking at these albums that have been updated, is there anything to signify that they've been updated? Do you get a notification? Is there a marker on a track? Or is it just like you have to notice that it's different?
I'm looking right now, but I only saw it posted on Reddit.
There's some big implications because now streaming, like we track album sales, but we also track streaming as a way to give these people revenue. And at that point, this might be splitting hairs, but you're changing the product after it's been sold. With album sales, that seems disingenuous and potentially fraudulent. With streaming, I guess not, because you're streaming what you're getting now. It's kind of like the podcast thing.
Right, but if I were to buy an album on iTunes without an Apple Music subscription, would that
change? Yeah, it would probably stay the same, But since I use Apple Music, I just looked and my song had been changed. Like, I never re-downloaded it or anything, so I'm assuming it just, like, tries
like,
to authenticate.
How do you know that it changed? Is there...
I looked through the lyrics, so I could see if the new stuff was here. Yeah, but this is something that hits kind of close to me, because I was really into this band in high school called Fest Ascension, and they went through a big change when I was in college. They got a bunch of new members and they re-recorded all of their music and replaced all of the original ones with the new things on Spotify. So I could never find the original versions of it that I want, or rather they replaced it on YouTube. Right. But then I went back on Spotify and I could find the original version. So I finally like found the correct version of the song that meant so much to me and not the one that was changed and lost its meaning. So like that's the thing that kills me is that I could have identified with that song by Kanye even though I don't identify with Kanye at all because we're just so different of people. But then once he adds that line about slavery and how he thinks it's like a state of mind, I'm like, I lose all association with it. Like,
I don't know. I think that things changing is a natural thing. Like if you're doing a live performance of the song 150 times, your 150th might be totally different from your first. But music can be so powerful that if you're just going to take that away from somebody, you have to have some sort of a warning or like an option to have both.
This is a conversation as a big advocate for digital media over physical media, really just for the sake of convenience, that I have this argument with people a lot. My friend Devin, he was on the podcast one time. My friend Devin, he's a video game collector. So I'm a gamer. I play a lot of current games. He definitely has more games and knows more about gaming history, but he wants to have the physical games. And whenever I tell him about a game like Destiny, where it's like an MMO, so it's being updated pretty frequently, he's like, well, how do you play the original? And I'm like, well, you can't. And he's like, that's insane to me. And with something like Destiny, we get heads up about it because games get updates, they get patches, apps get updated. Like right now, you can't download the original Facebook app on your phone. It's not out there. And with apps and services, I think it's one thing because the service is something that's maintained. With games, games are sort of becoming a service, and that's sort of a debate that's happening in the gaming community. You'll see it happen with books, like in iBooks. Whenever I'm reading a book, I'll say like, oh, this got updated, usually like a typo fix or an appendix edit or something like that. Yeah. With music, it just feels different.
But what's really interesting is that's my reaction also, but as I'm sitting here thinking about it, like how many times has music changed like that over the years? Like when you were playing...
There's just always been a way to find out. There's always been a paper trail, even if it's hard to find.
There's been patch notes. Yeah.
There's usually a paper trail, that's true.
There's a way to see like, oh, this is the version that came out in this year. Yeah. This one had like a weird watermark on the fucking album. Like, I don't know. Like everything had something different about it that you could track. This is basically saying, oop, I didn't like this, let's erase this from the internet. The only paper trail you're going to find is like on the administrative side of things, which nobody has access to with these giant streaming services.
I feel like I would have to start screenshotting all of my shit.
Like, yeah, it's weird. I think that it's okay. I guess I just like to see some transparency about it. This is just my first take. There's probably more sides to this argument than I'm thinking of. But if there's like some way in the user interface to denote what's happening, I don't really have a problem with it. As long as the user knows what's happening. With streaming, it's hard to make a case for it because you're paying for what is currently available. But yeah, if this is going to affect stuff that you can buy, that's
what's
a lot.
Funny is that my first reaction is fairly... I mean, I think my first reaction was interest. And then my second reaction was almost like fear. I don't like that idea.
Like they can erase history.
Yeah. And well, and that's so funny that you say that because it's honestly kind of how I feel right now. I feel like there's so many things going on just like in the world in general where like truth is not real, that if you can just change my music on me without me being able to know that or know what the original was, I feel like I would go crazy.
It's like when everyone was so deeply uncomfortable when Apple put out the U2 album back in 2014.
Oh my God, yes. Oh my God, yes.
So I just went back to Apple Music to see if they had like anything about the fact that the album was updated. And not only do they not mention the fact that it was changed after he already released it, they also just say in the little synopsis that he mentions recent controversies, including the slavery was a choice comment and name dropping Stormy Daniels and stuff, not saying that that was added after he already released it. So it's like they're just trying to brush over it. Like,
I mean, maybe this is going to be
this is
new...
the way it's been the whole time. Like, no.
Yeah, that's weird. Maybe this is the new way forward where there's going to be songs that don't really have an original anymore and that they grow with the artist and with the times and it stays relevant because you're changing it to fit the time. But I think that there's something incredibly valuable about having a piece of music that speaks to the moment that you were in when it was written and published and listened to in a cultural moment. So I don't know. I feel a little bit weird about that. I think that I want an option to keep it the same as well. Well, shit, that was very interesting. I suppose I have to do a thing now where I
we're going to the ratings.
Episode.
Yeah. I'd like it if you did that.
So thank you guys so much for bringing your topics and talking about mine as well. If you, dear listener, want to have your own question or comment read on the show, we make weekly posts on Facebook and Twitter where you can comment or reply and we'll be sure to talk about it because we always like a little bit of listener contribution.
Yes, we do. As Keenan said, create our content. content.
Yes, please create our content for us, for sometimes we are tired.
So the other night I was playing Destiny with, I'm sorry, several months ago, I was playing Destiny with our late friend Austin Liebers, may he rest in peace.
R.I.P.
And he kept calling everyone with a lot of health beefy boys, to the point where he was really overusing it.
No, that's pretty good.
When I said common briefing program, I thought of common beefing program. I don't know if there's anything to that, but that's what came into my mind because of our dead friend Austin.
Sure.
So if we ever have an episode where we're all really angry at each other, we could probably call that the common beefing program.
Yeah. I'm sure that'll happen at some
point. I'm mad at you all the time, Colin. Let's go. Like, come on.
All right.
I don't want this beef. So take the beef back. I only eat medium.
You don't want this Italian beef, dog?
Okay, now it just sounds like you're hitting on me.
All right, let's move away from the beef, guys. Let's move away from the beef. We are going to move into our rating section. So thank you, representatives, for your contributions to our broadcast. We are now going to determine whose stories were of the most import, impact, or interest and vote for the winner of this week's Gold Star Student Award. I don't actually know how this happens with the common beefing program. Beefing program? Fuck!
Yes!
God damn it!
This is the beefing program! So,
fuck!
The beef awards go as follows, where you basically rank our stories. Well, you say whose story you prefer, and then whoever gets the most, we will each say whose story that was not ours we preferred.
Okay.
And then whoever gets like 2 points wins. If we all get 3 points, we all win a shared beef.
That sounds weird. All right.
That is the episode title now. I'm not letting you guys vote on this one. This is called shared beef.
Shared beef.
Agreed. All right, so I guess as host, I will start because it's how I decided to do things. So I'm going to start by telling you which one of your stories I liked the most. And this is not recency bias, but Pat, I am most interested in your music story. That is not something I had heard of. It is incredibly fascinating. I think it has a lot of implications, and I want to know more. So week's golden beef goes to Pat.
Well, you know, we all have to vote, and that decides the beef.
Oh, my.
Your, okay, that's, that is, that
terrible
is, that,
my golden beef goes to Pat. Right?
I got Laura's golden beef? Oh my
it's very
god.
Man, this is a beef heavy end to the podcast. So I, Laura, you talked about Star Trek.
I did do that.
Which makes this very painful because I'm also much more interested in the stuff Pat had to say.
I understand.
Not even just the music thing, which Pat just dabbed, by the way, listeners, so you can turn this off now and never listen again. So
I retract my beef.
All right, I might have to let you vote between that and shared beef for the title. So I also really, I connect with the Anthem thing because I'm like, here's the thing. I'm trying to play a lot of games right now, and it's really hard given like all the other stuff I'm trying to do with my life. As we've all said throughout this podcast, life's been pretty buck wild.
Yeah.
So it's hard to play a lot of games, which makes me think I might not get the chance to really sink my teeth into Anthem. Like, I wanted to get back into The Division after they updated it, but like if I'm going to play my big multiplayer game, it's Destiny right now.
Yeah.
But I do care about Anthem because I want to see more games in this space grow. That and also being a subscriber of Apple Music. And disclaimer, Laura and I do work for Apple in the retail space. We in no way are, you know, representatives of Apple as a whole, their company, or represent their interests. We are speaking as individual parties. Anyway.
Yes.
So I'm a subscriber to Apple Music as well. And I really, I don't like this.
Yeah.
I don't like if this is something that's not going to be communicated to me as a paying subscriber. And I think that if this is something that's going to become commonplace, there just needs to be a better way to communicate it. And this always happens. Whenever we have new ways of presenting and organizing information, we
Hey, Colin, this is the rating section. We've already talked about the music stuff.
You're right. Okay, wow, thank you for hosting me. Basically,
you're welcome.
Yes, I have strong feelings. Pat gets my vote.
Cool.
Sick.
So Pat does win the golden beef, but Pat, upon your pedestal of beef, how would you beef our beefs?
As some say, the beefestal.
The beefestal. Nope. No one says it. No one
it's
says
better
it.
Than, it's better than peta beef.
Like. Peta. Oh, no. No.
Well, that's now, also a good title.
Yeah, now we actually have three titles to vote between.
Three beef-related titles.
You know,
all right.
Audience members, if you could comment on our page after this, which do you prefer? Do you prefer shared beef? What is it? Retract my beef or pedo beef?
Anyway, it's no secret that I'm not exactly the biggest fan of Star Trek. So I did not really find those stories to be particularly interesting, but I do think that my choice would go to Colin's story because I just like hearing all of the speculation, I guess, and I didn't realize that Quentin Tarantino was involved in Star Trek at all, and that actually got me a little excited because I'm very into
Quentin Tarantino. He pitched an idea to JJ, and JJ was like, fuck it, let's do it.
Is like my entire life synopsis. It's just like,
I mean, hey, there are much worse life synopses than that, so hell yeah.
So all right. I will give my beef to Colin.
All right. I get a consolation beef from Pat.
Oh, God.
Well, crap, that's four titles. We gotta stop the beef.
Five. It's too good, man. It's too
good. Oh, man. This is good shit.
All right.
All right. Well, now that we've rated ourselves.
Stop
this is great. All right. Now that we've rated ourselves, let's talk about you. Yes, you, the listeners. Each cycle, we track the people who engage with us online and enter them into a raffle. And the winner of that raffle gets to choose the topic for a future episode. Using a D10 die, we will now randomly select an entry.
I am vigorously shaking this die.
I see this. Can confirm, die will be shook. Shaken, shook, shook.
Shaken, bacon.
Yeah, shook would be the adjective. When you're saying shaken, is that like the past participle?
Shaken, not stirred.
There you go. Where is it? Listener engagement. All right, go ahead.
Isn't shook more the verb and shaken is to describe?
Well, shook is the past tense of the verb. It is
but
shook.
But shaken's an adjective.
Saying it's that it like, is shook, oh, I guess it's state of being. But is the state of being verb, so then you've got that as the modifier, which would make it an adverb, I guess.
Yeah.
No, an adjective. Sorry, I'm tired. Go ahead, roll that 10-sided beauty.
Okay. Four.
1, 2, 3, 4. That is going to go to listener Samuel Thang. So, if you actually listen to the show, congratulations. I'm gonna reach out to you, me, Colin Ketchin. I'm gonna see if you want to pick the topic for a future episode of the show. Listeners, if you want to do this, like, share, comment anything on our show.
Subscribe.
And rate, comment, subscribe. And you might
let's
also
get this to over 100,000 likes, man.
You may also get the chance to pick a listener selected episode.
Smash that like button. Just smash it.
Well then, that just about wraps this one up. Thank you so much for listening to the Common Geeking Program. I'm your host. What?
That's not what it's called today. What is it called?
Then can you fix your outro read for the Common Briefing Program?
No, it's not the Common Briefing
The Common
program.
Beefing Program.
There you go. Thank you.
Still got you on the outro.
Thank you so much for listening to the Common Beefing Program. I am your host, Laura Kramer. You can find me on at home on my couch. Please don't do that. Please don't find me on my couch.
Please don't do that, Laura Kramer.
No, if you are interested in reaching out to me, I don't have a super big social media platform, but if you reach out via the Common Geeking Program Facebook, I do look at that, and I'm sure Colin will let me know that people are talking to me.
Yes, I will.
Thank you so much, and again, I have been joined by...
Hello, my name is Colin Ketchin, and you can find me at the internet. I'm at SonicColinK on various platforms. Yep.
Cool.
And I'm Patrick Brim. And if you want to follow me and see gross-ass pictures of me and my girlfriend, then you can follow me at Patty Ice Official on Instagram.
Has she given permission for that?
I mean, like, they can follow me.
Yeah, true. All right.
Yeah, he didn't say her name. He didn't name drop.
Also, I'm the only gross part of those pictures. Yeah, I didn't say her
that's
name.
That's true. I don't know.
But her name is Abby. And she's the best. Hi.
All right, you're adorable.
She's going to listen to this later.
All right. Next week, our episode will be hosted by Pat, right?
Nope.
Oh, Colin, right? I had a 50-50 chance here.
You did. and you beefed it pretty hard.
And I read the fucking document before we started because I was like, I'm going to be ready for this.
So, my name is Colin again. I just introduced myself 20 seconds ago.
Also, this is the outro, so you should really be saying goodbye.
I'm hosting the next episode. So if you listeners want to hang out for the next 45, for the next 40 minutes, I'll be recording that episode too. But you have to wait a week. Sorry. So the next episode is actually a listener selected episode. Listener Faith Yoy selected.
Oh, wait.
Listener Faith Yoy has picked the
nice.
Okay, can we try it again? I don't want to cut that together. All right. So next week's episode is going to be a listener selected episode. So next week's episode is, I partnered with listener Faith Yoy, who won our last raffle, to pick the topic of Dear White People, the Netflix show. It just wrapped season 2 of the show. I think it's very much worth your time, and we're going to have a conversation about it. And I think, yeah, it's going to be good. We have a few other surprises next week, so be sure to tune in.
Can I rant real quick about white people?
I mean, if you...
All of them in general?
If you didn't, that'd be nice.
So, no, specifically one group of white people, and that's old white dudes on airplanes. Why the fuck can't you just stay in the confines of your goddamn seat, okay? This motherfucker had his elbow over the fucking armrest, and his knee was in my spot. Like, homeboy, I'm just trying to relax.
That is probably representative of all old white men.
It happens every time. Every single time I'm sitting next to an old white dude, it happens. Every time I'm sitting next to just like a random person.
I've had carpal tunnel, kidney stones, and light is spicy to me. So, like, I'm also an old white man now. I'd appreciate it if you showed some consideration and respect.
We've already established that I don't like you.
The beef continues. All right, wrap it up, Laura.
All right. Be sure to tune in next Friday on July 27th to listen to that listener episode.
My cousin's wedding is going to be the day after that.
Hey. No, that's not what I thought you were going to say.
Hey, Colin, you want to hang out?
I'm busy on the 27th.
All right.
But what about the 28th?
I'm going to keep reading this outro now. If you would like to know more about us, you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Geeking Program. As we've stated, any engagement such as sharing a post, tagging us, or tweeting hashtag CGP will enter you into our raffle. Reviewing us on Apple Podcasts is a critical way to help grow our show. I know we talk about it I guess we read it every week, but it really does make a huge difference. And we'll read new reviews on air, which, hang on one moment.
No, I just checked. There's none not. Reviews? We had one a couple episodes ago that was pretty funny and caused.
Yeah, I'm not Pat as Tickle Shits.
I think that was actually like a while ago now. Yeah. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, subscribing, sharing, and everything. We will talk to you next week.
Goodbye, everybody.
This episode of the Common Geeking Program was hosted by Laura Kramer, joined by Patrick Brem and Colin Ketchin. This podcast is sponsored by 97% Lean, 3% Fat. The podcast is created and produced by Colin Ketchin and Jeff Levitt, with this episode edited by me, Colin Ketchin, and featuring original music also by me. Now, next week begins the start of our next cycle. Cycle 10 begins. I'll be hosting a listener-selected episode about Dear White People, the Netflix show, so be sure to tune in then, share with your friends, and in the meantime, thank you for listening to this. You were really riding the struggle bus on that outro, Laura.
I don't know what you're talking about. It was perfect.
I wasn't making it easy on
the struggle bus. It means you're having a hard time. Also, Pat.
The beefle bus?
The
struggle beef?
I don't think you're...
Beef stroganoff?
Pat, I thought you were sitting... Now I'm mad at you.
Why?
I'm mad at you. Now we actually have beef. Okay? We actually have beef. Because you were like, hey, the 27th, there's a wedding that day. Why might I be busy on July 27th?
Is that your birthday? It's your birthday?
Yes.
Colin!
Bro.
I've known you for 6 years and I don't think I knew that.
November 12th, bitch.
I'm an asshole and you're a good friend, so.
You didn't invite me to these birthday plans, so how was I supposed to?
I have no birthday plans, but your thought
then was. Then how are you busy on that day?
But your thought was friend's wedding. Not your birthday.
Cousin's wedding, because I'm going to be in fucking New York so I can hang out with you for your birthday, you piece of garbage.
I might also bleep this out because I don't like people knowing my birthday.
Yeah, please don't find me on my couch.
Yeah. All right, cool.
I just love, please don't do that, the Laura Kramer story.
All right.
Oh, God, is that the title of my sex tape?
Please don't do that.
Oh, wow. You got something you want to tell
Please
us there?
Don't do that. The Laura Kramer struggle beef.
Oh, God. Well, this has been lovely.
10 out of 10. Would record again. Holy shit.
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to end my recording now, but this has been beautiful.